Thanks for tuning into Conversations About Meaningful Things, the podcast where we dig into life, faith, and all the important questions. In a world that can feel isolating sometimes, we want to encourage you that you're not alone, that God loves you and isn't afraid of your questions. And that's the purpose of this podcast. In our time together, you can expect real talk, genuine interviews, and probably a few laughs along the way. Our hope is as you connect, you feel seen, loved, and encouraged as you take steps in your faith journey. So settle in and let's dive into the conversation. We're so happy to have you along. Well, hello again. Welcome to another episode of Conversations About Meaningful Things. My name is Alex. I'm one of the hosts here on this podcast. With me today, back in the, not hot seat, but back behind the mic.
Back in the saddle.
Is my good friend, Steve. Welcome back, buddy.
Thanks. Good to be back. You know, I wonder how many people have actually been in a saddle. That, you know, we use that phrase, back in the saddle
again. Yeah.
But anyway. I think that goes with the, like, if you fall off a horse, you should get on right away.
Did you fall off a horse last week? Is that why you weren't with us last conversation?
I did not. I forget. I think I just wanted to, you know, give Emmeth a chance. And was it Emmeth?
It was. We had Emmeth on last week. So if you're listening to this and you skipped a week, pause the episode and go back and listen to last week's.
It
was really good.
You got
to
hear Emmeth.
It was really good. Emmeth's one of our former interns who also serves in a bunch of areas here. He's a college student. He's been a part of our church for a number of years and just a really great guy.
helps and serves in lots of ways. He's very tech savvy.
Yes, he is. And he just loves the Lord. And he's also, he's going to hate this if he listens to this.
Oh boy, here we go. Where are you going with that?
He's one of the most ridiculously talented people I've ever met. With music, he is just a genius. He can listen to something and have it figured out on guitar or piano or some other instrument. I think his last conversation we had, he's like, I just need to learn the drums, and then I think I can play every instrument on the stage. I'm like, that's amazing,
dude. He'll be that guy that like has the track recorder and hits record, plays one track, and then does the next one, and then does the whole song right in front of you.
That's... Have you ever watched Ed Sheeran? Do you know who Ed Sheeran is?
Yeah.
Have you ever watched how he does his concerts?
Does he do the track thing?
He uses a loop pedal. He doesn't have a band. He just literally just loops.
Plays his loops and then puts it all together.
It's so cool to watch. Even if you don't like that style of music, it is just fun to watch somebody build something from nothing, and then you've got this song. It's like, what?
The first time I saw that, I was like, what is going on?
I know.
It's amazing.
It's really cool. Stuff that if I attempted to do, I would just make an utter fool of myself.
Yes.
I'd loop the wrong thing and I'd be like, oh no.
Or I'd sound like a mid-80s keyboard demo track or something. Terrible. Anyway, so if you missed Emmeth, go back, check it out. But we're here today.
Yeah, we are.
It's Alex and Steve. And so how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
We're sort of in this change of season.
We are. Frame. We really are. And I get super nostalgic, Steve, around this time of year. There's certain things as I've grown up. You get older. You care less about things that you did when you were a kid. I become a kid again around like November, December. I just love everything about this season, and more so now that I'm a dad, getting to sort of relive it kind of through my kids' eyes. It is just fun. We love just the aspect of there's a little bit more intentionality about gathering together. There's some traditions that we've kind of developed over the years that have really been special to us, and it's dumb things like, you know, we just... We always, we love baking together and making stuff or setting up the Christmas. I know people are going to probably send me nasty emails. You're talking about Christmas and it's not even November yet, but...
It's pretty close.
We're getting close.
Actually, I think by the time people Yeah, people might be listening if they went back and listened to Emmett. They might now.
You might be listening in November.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't care what anybody thinks. I just I love it. So we are really looking forward to that. And our family is just experiencing some cool stuff. We've got a wedding that we're going to be going to for my sister-in-law coming up here in a couple months, and so a lot of things that we're looking forward to.
Yeah,
what about you?
We have some family traditions for sure. Some of them are around food, like
the best ones.
My side of the family, we've got a long family recipe of sweet and sour cabbage, which for a lot of people sounds pretty disgusting.
Interesting. But does it fall in the savory or sweet category? What's going on?
Okay. It's more the savory side. It's sure. Definitely, it's an old, you know, my grandparents' last name was Schultz, and it's definitely like a German.
Yeah.
Very. So,
yeah.
And pumpkin pie and,
oh, yeah.
You know, all that
it's
good stuff.
It's the best, man.
I'm a very nostalgic, traditional person as mm-hmm. well. Like when my grandparents were downsizing and they were getting rid of some things, like no, we can't get rid of that. So there's a few things in our house that if you come over, I can tell you, that my grandfather did his homework and that table in the late or early 1900s, and he got it from his family and et cetera. I just feel like it's important to keep those, I don't know if it's relationships is the right word, but mm-hmm. it's important to keep those relationships alive. And we live in a culture that's so quick and almost transient when it comes to relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, what have you done for me? Oh, okay. Well, what can you do for me? Nothing. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm moving on because and I just don't know that we invest like we used to in relationships and tradition and all of that. So mm-hmm. I tend to lean that way. You know, I could say I'm a nostalgic collector. Other people might say I'm a pack rat. You know, I guess it's your perspective on that.
I don't think so. I've been to your house, Steve, and obviously in your office because we work together. I think the stuff that you've held on to, like, it's meaningful, and it's not like you got like a porcelain trinket sitting on a wall somewhere. Like, it's got some meaning and some value in terms of just honoring those people that have really meant a lot to you over the years. I think that's really cool.
I guess some people might look at some of that and go, wow, you are overemphasizing meaning and things then. But anyway, I think in our culture, that's something we've lost.
Yeah.
You know, we've lost that sense of connection and tradition. Even, you know, I think even friendships these mm-hmm. days, I think there's not as many of them, and I think they lack depth quite a bit of the time. What do you think?
I would agree with you, man. That's kind of where I think we want to steer the conversation today. Is that element of our life. And so friendships, like as an adult, like let's just pull the curtain back a little bit maybe. When you think about being a kid, how easy it was to make friends. Like I think about even stories that my kids come home and tell, like, Dad, I made a new best friend today. Really cool, bud. And what's his name? I have no idea.
I don't know,
but we're best friends and we're going to see each other tomorrow. And then it's like it's interesting how, I mean, again, the argument can be made, well, does that relationship have a whole lot of depth? No, probably not. But
it might be age appropriate.
Yes. Right. I think as kids, we were able to make those friendships so easily. And maybe you're listening today, and one of the reasons why I thought we could steer the conversation this way today is like the need for us to have deep, valuable relationships where people truly know us and challenge us, that we're letting in beyond surface level. The need for that doesn't go away when we are no longer kids. I would argue that the need for that actually becomes greater as we become adults. And it's a challenge. I know there's been times in my life where it has been a huge challenge to feel like I look around the landscape and go, I have a lot of people that I would say are friends that I don't mind hanging out with, but do I truly have those inner circle people, people that really know the real me. And I'm happy to say now I definitely have those people, but there have been times where I haven't, and that need is definitely felt. So why do you think why is it a challenge for us as adults?
You know, there's an old saying, something like, you know, energy is wasted on youth who have no experience, and experience is wasted on the older folks who have no energy to do something. Like, I think there's some of that. Like, when we're younger, there are a lot of margins and a lot of freedoms that we have, and not as much responsibility. Although I think that has changed in the last probably 25, 30 years with such a focus, especially I love sports, but in the sports world, youth sports has become so intense, and so demanding of families. But I think, generally speaking, when we're in that, you know, younger ages, like your kids are, my kids were, you know, there's a lot more freedom. I think there's a, maybe a, I don't know how to say this, but like a heart freedom. Like kids, they know they got to get their homework done, but they don't necessarily feel like adults sometimes do, like the weight of the world and multiple people are depending on me and those kinds of things. So I think there's some emotion, maybe emotional and time margins there. And I think when you have that sense of margin and freedom, you are more willing to embrace and like be willing to, you know, just make connections with folks, you know, I'll just go to the playground and play basketball with whoever's there. Like, that's no big deal. I think as we get older, we start taking on responsibility and we start, you know, dicing up our schedules and assigning things there. And then some of those things become big rocks that you can't move. And whether we think they are or someone has told us that they are. And I think we become, and especially as men, I think men and women are different in this way, but I'm talking sort of stereotypically, but I think men start to look at those margins in terms of, what allows me to accomplish and get done the things I have to get done? What helps me check my boxes? Because we tend to be more task oriented. Females typically, stereotypically, maybe tend to be a little more relationally oriented. So, you know, a couple of ladies be fine having a conversation, feels like that fills their cup a little bit. We're like, well, what are we talking about? Because we're getting something done through this conversation, I got to check the box as guys. So, you know, I think our capacities go down and sometimes it's understandable. Like, we have more responsibility, but other times I think, we could be more intentional with the margins we have and the interest we have. I mean, we talked about this in terms of just having conversations with people a few episodes ago, but you know, to not look so much at life through the lens of checking the boxes, I guess. And I feel like I kind of wandered over there a little bit. So I don't know if you followed me all the way.
No, I totally do. Cause I think that sometimes, at least from my lens, is our pitfall as men. And this episode definitely isn't just for the guys. I think this can be a wide net that all of us can find ourselves in, but I do think our unique challenge as guys, I mean, speaking from our experience, is that relationships can sometimes become very superficial. It's, you know, I don't mind going out and hanging with a group of guys. We can talk about the bills or what our family's up to or work. Like, and that's what I see a lot of times with guys, especially where friendships stay very surface level. And you ask the average guy, hey, do you have any friends? Probably most of them will say, well, yeah, I've got friends. But do you have somebody that truly knows you, that knows what you're struggling with? And I think the piece that we often miss as guys, and for me, I can tell you, like growing up, I had a great dad. I love my father. Something that he struggled with and I in turn kind of struggled with as well was there was never really a teaching moment for me where it was like, you're not a kid anymore, you're a man now.
Yeah.
That sort of passing the torch. And I think sometimes we struggle and flounder as guys to go, we need accountability. We need people in our life that are holding us to a standard. Somebody, I mean, I think of what King Solomon said in Proverbs 27. He says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We need that. And so often I think we keep our relationships surface level and don't allow people to challenge us.
Yeah. And I think we look at maybe some more very generic, cultural indicators, mm-hmm. to guide that rather than being very intentional, mm-hmm. in investing in next generations. Yeah. Like we say, okay, well, you're 16, you can drive now. So I guess you're an adult, or, oh, right. Well, you're 18, you can vote now. I guess you're an adult.
Yeah.
Or, you know, in most states, you're 21 now, you can drink alcohol. Mm-hmm. I guess you're an adult. Mm-hmm. And like, but what have we done to really help them be an adult, right? What kind of preparation and what kind of investment are we making? And I do think, you know, that's one of the areas where we need to be intentional, mm-hmm. is the intentional investment into those relationships.
Absolutely.
And those should be... those should have a mutuality to them, right? Mm-hmm. Like we benefit both directions.
Yeah.
And so I think we a lot of times just don't see that or don't value it the way we ought to, maybe, mm-hmm. and we miss out on it. And so I do think, you know, as adults, sometimes we really miss out on having deeper connections and relationships. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times the downfall of that is we see a particular relationship as simply a means to an end. Mm-hmm. One, you know, how does that help me accomplish one of the things I want to accomplish rather than that relationship itself is a great end. That's mm-hmm. a great thing to have in my life.
Yeah.
And I agree. I think some of the research shows that most adult men have, I don't know if it's like two or three deep friendships in the course of their lifetime, which mm-hmm. is like, wow, that seems so lacking.
Yeah.
And I want, you know, I don't, you know, how many, like, I have people I call my friends, but maybe mm-hmm. the question is, you know, if life crashes down in some way, shape or form, you know, how many people could I call at 3 a.m. and they're going to be there by 3:15?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's, That's a one way to measure where are my deeper mm-hmm. friendships and relationships.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I would almost maybe even push back a little bit on the like 2 to 3 really good friends in your lifetime. I don't think that necessarily is a bad thing if those three people are you're actively investing in that relationship and both of you guys are doing that. I think the problem more so I see is we don't even get there. We have so many people that, yeah, they know about us. They know what we do. They know about our family. Maybe they know facts about us, but like, are we truly being known by somebody else, in a friendship? And I think, again, one of the things I see with my parents' generation that I kind of grew up experiencing was at a certain point, it's like there's so much focus on raising us kids and you have a family and your focus becomes that. And I'm not saying that shouldn't be your focus. I think priority number one is taking care of your family, making sure that that's good. But to fast forward the time clock a little bit where the kids are all out of the house and there's not many meaningful friendships left.
Well, I can remember some of my friends were actually the kids of who my parents were friends with. Like, mm-hmm. I think there's a modeling dynamic that happens with that. And so, you know, I would encourage parents, when you have kids and they're in the like 5 to 18 range, it's mm-hmm. a pretty wide range. Like, this is going to sound crazy to some people. Mm-hmm. Don't allow your kids to be your sole focus.
Yeah.
Because I mean, they should be a major focus for sure. But you still have to focus on your marriage because, you know, in about, you know, 13, 15 years from now, that's not going to be your focus and you have to have something there. But even friendships, like your kids, the next generation is going to learn from the current generation, right? So even as we're raising our kids, if we're modeling what good friendships and deep friendships look like, you know, that commitment to each other, that helps them, you know, that's a way for you to focus on your kids and their health is to model healthy friendships and relationships with them. You know, and I think, you know, you, one of the other things I was thinking about as you were talking is, you know, two or three that were, you know, we will call close friendships. I think that also has to carry some longevity to it. Like it's not, these are my two or three for this year. You know, just to tell you a quick story. So we were interviewing, I was at another place and we were interviewing for a staff position and, we had some resumes come in and, you know, like person was here 1 year and there 18 months, there another 18 months, there 16 months. And then like their cover letter, they said like, I've got 22 years of experience. And the other person I was talking with said, that's not true at all. And I was like, what do you mean? And they said, what's the longest they've been anywhere? And I was like, it was like 21 months. And he goes, they have 21 months experience. Because they don't know what it's like to be in year three. They don't know what it's like to handle the dynamics that happen in year four. They have 21 months of experience. And so if you're listening to apply that to this discussion about relationships and friendships, like longevity in friendships, I think is important. Otherwise, you know how to be a friend for 9 months. But what happens in year two, year three, year 10? Right? Because I think we can both, we're nodding our heads. We know there are other dynamics that start to kick in after you've had that length of friendship. Not just the quick, you're my best friend this week, right?
So that's a really good point.
Maybe as you're evaluating, you know, kind of taking inventory in your own life, like, okay, who are the people that I've been kind of doing a long haul with and in a good way, like not a bad way. And, you know, who are, maybe there's a couple other people that you're maybe in the early parts, but you go, no, I think that could be a long haul person. And I want to invest in my relationship with them that way. Right. Cause you start, when you start to think that way, you start to make choices a little bit differently.
And I think that's such a good point, Steve. Cause I think, one of the conversations I've had over the years with friends, with family who are like, I feel like I can't find anybody that like aligns with where I'm heading in life. I mean, we're speaking from the specific lens of having friendships that are of like mind, for Jesus, people that are going to challenge you in your walk with God, those kind of people. And one of the things I always ask is like, well, who are you surrounding yourself with? Because I think sometimes, this is a cliche phrase, but I would say this all the time in student ministry and still think about it to this day, is you are who you hang out with. You are going to be most like the five people you spend the majority of your time with. So if those, think of those five people, right? If you spend the majority of your time at work and your friends are at work, those five people, what are they like? What are they like outside of work? What are they like? Are they living a life that is exemplifying who you want to be as a follower of Christ? And if the answer is no, it's time to find some new people to be around.
You had that phrase in youth ministry. I think every youth leader has a different version of that. Mine was, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. And the book of Proverbs says a very similar thing. If you want to be wise, walk with the wise. And so it's, that's a, just a critical point you're making.
Do you think, Steve, as we think about, I think to say that friendships as an adult are vital, I think we would both say yes. But for that person that's going, I understand that, and that's why I'm here. I have no idea how to start. I feel really alone in this area. Like I don't know how to pursue a godly friendship with someone. And for this conversation, I would say, you know, if you're a man, you need to be pursuing deep friendships with other men of yes. God. If you're a woman, you should be pursuing deep friendships with other women. I think that's an important distinction to make. But how do we do that? How do you go about that? That seems like a really awkward process to just walk up to somebody and ask them if they would be your friend.
It is. I mean, when you're in kindergarten, it's not awkward because kids do that all the time. We're like, hey, can you be my friend? Can we be best friends?
Yes.
I used to joke with, like, you know, 8-year-olds who said, I'm going out with so-and-so. That was the phrasing, right? They referred to their boyfriend or girlfriend. That's who I'm going out with. And I would say, like, oh, where are you going?
Yeah.
Like, no, we're going out. I'm like, I hear you. Where are you going? But, you know, as adults, it's a little bit different. And, yeah. you know, we could look around, you know, the workplace, you know, mm-hmm. and see, like, is there anybody that seems to be like-minded? I think, you know, some key things you want to look for in adult friendships is you want to look for people who are mm-hmm. traveling the same direction you are,
yeah.
you know, and you mentioned faith and, you know, the spiritual side of things we would yep. say is a very important aspect. Mm-hmm. I think the social directions are important too. Like, is this person, you yeah. know, I steer clear of this, that, or the other thing, but that person, that seems to be all they want to do. Like, mm-hmm. How is that going to work then? You know, yeah. I think if you're listening and you're just kind of feeling alone and I would love 2 or 3 friendships. They don't even have to be deep yet. I just want yeah. a couple of friends. Rather than going after maybe an individual person, like I got to find a person to target, that's mm-hmm. that's going to be really weird and awkward.
Yeah.
But I think find a community
yep.
with which you can make connections and then spend time with that community. And I think, you know, birds of a feather flock together kind of
yeah.
stuff happens. You kind of naturally gravitate towards people that you're like. And, you know, no surprise, I would say one of the best communities that you could try and connect with would be a church community.
Yeah.
Because hopefully that already addresses one dynamic, and that is the spiritual side of things.
Yep.
That, okay, we both are pursuing some level of faith, and we want that to be part of, you know, our closest friendship. So find a community of faith that you mm-hmm. can connect with, and don't just go there and look around once or twice and go, nobody said hi to me.
Yeah.
Like, you got to engage in the community, right?
Absolutely.
And you got to engage and yep. put yourself out there as much as, you know,
yeah.
this old saying, you know, be the friend you wish you had.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, what does that look like? You know,
yeah.
I'm initiating conversation. I'm, you know, inviting to... Mm-hmm. You know, again, not in a weird way, like, hey, Alex, want to go out to dinner? yeah. Like, that's
I don't
just,
know who
that's
you
just
are.
Awkward. But yeah. where there's opportunities for Absolutely. Connection and deeper connection, step into those.
Yeah.
And I think, you know,
the
caveat to that is not everybody connects well with everybody.
True.
You know, so
yep.
if you think, oh, mm-hmm. I might like hanging out with that person, and then mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. okay, that's, you just gained a little more information and wisdom then. That's
yeah.
all. Don't look at that as a failure. Just look at that yeah. as, okay, I learned something else that
yep.
that I'm not going to do. So,
yep.
but I think you got to connect with a larger community
mm-hmm.
and then you see what happens from there. I think, you know, devoid of faith, people do that, right?
Yeah.
That's why they go hang out in clubs or whatever. They're
yep.
trying to connect with a particular type of community.
Yeah.
But I think a church is a great place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think potentially the neighborhood that you live in, you know, do they do a block party annually? Is there anything, you know, that you could make a connection with a broader community?
Yeah.
And then within that community, what's the gravitational pull that happens there?
Yeah, I love that. And I think the only other thing that kind of comes to my mind is, as you're sharing that, Steve, when connecting with a faith community, your local church, wherever you're listening at, if you're not connected in a local church right now,
yes.
that would be step one. Get involved. And I would say take the next step. And maybe for you, if you're someone who's like, I'm the most introverted person on the planet. Like, the thought of walking up to somebody and trying to initiate a conversation sounds like I would rather just go die in a hole.
Yep.
Start serving.
Yes.
Get involved in your church. And what's amazing is you're going to be in a sphere of people, a smaller sphere of people that are doing the same thing with you, and you'll be able to find some common-minded people in those spaces. And I think that takes the pressure way off when it's like, hey, we're doing something together that's missional. We're serving God together. And then all of a sudden, it just happens. You're going to start having conversations and hearing people's stories and going, man, I'm gravitating towards this person, and we work together really well. And that's a really great place, getting involved in a small group if your church has those available. For Kirsten and I, so we've been out in Western New York for over 2 years now. I can remember the specific prayer that her and I prayed several times before moving out here was, God, you're going to have to send us friends. Sounds like such a weird prayer. And honestly, like that was the only thing I could think to say. I was like, God, because we were leaving a community that we'd been a part of for a long, long time, and realizing how vital that was. And it was so cool because God just one by one began dropping people in our path. But part of it was we had to put ourselves in those positions.
Yeah.
We got involved in community groups. We serve. Kirsten serves on Sunday mornings. I'm obviously on staff here and do different things. But it was in that process, like, God put a handful of people in our lives that, like, I can just say right now, like, are my best friends. In some ways, deeper relationships than Kirsten and I have ever had in our life, which is amazing. And how God's been faithful in that area.
We've moved a couple of times as well. And sometimes people ask, oh, do you miss that or miss this other thing? And almost always my answer is, you know what I really miss is I miss the people and the relationships.
Yep.
And so, you know, our desire for you, if you're listening, would be that you would have relationships that you feel that way about, that you would have friendships that you go, no, this is valuable to me. And if it wasn't here, I would really miss it.
Yep.
And so, you know, we've given you a few suggestions here, but part of what we want to do, I think, is just heighten your awareness of we're created and wired as relational beings, and culture may push us a certain way or pull us another way, but realize that's the way God created us. And so that's a need that all of us have. We have a need for deep connection.
Yeah.
And, you know, for a lot of folks, that's in a spousal relationship, but we also need some, you know, some same gender deep friendships that that are part of our life, part of our rhythm of who we are as a person, and we're investing in, and people are investing in us. So we encourage you to seek those out. If you say, I don't have any, then maybe begin with those couple of steps that we suggested to you. And if you got questions, as always, we're happy to try and answer them. It's real simple. Just reach out, podcast@victorchurch.org, and shoot us an email. We'd be happy to listen and get back to you, podcast@victorchurch.org. But so glad that you could be part of the conversation today, and I look forward to chatting again sometime soon. Have a great day.
Bye, everybody.